right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, so we're going to spend some time today talking about grassroots. And Boomer, I gotta say, man, so I've alluded to the fact that I have known you and your family for many moons, many moons. I am mindful of you and other rabble-rousers in your high school that formed a grassroots effort back in the day. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had a few up our sleeves, but there was one in particular that you know, a couple classes above me really instilled in all of us.
Yeah, but you were in, though, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
Didn't you have the T-shirts and everything?
Oh, T-shirts. I mean, we had it all.
All right. So
protests.
So let's set the stage here. The bottom line was the cafeteria at your high school used to serve a thing, what, on Fridays? Called yep. Crispitos?
Crispitos.
What is a Crispito?
It's like just a hard shell stick with just meat inside. I mean, it was like a little spicy, and everybody loved them. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with a Crispito.
do you like dip them in ranch sauce, or you just...
Whatever you want. You know, you just bring whatever sauce you want with it. But, I mean, okay. I was a plain Jane. I just ate.
You're like a naked Crispito guy.
Yeah, just give it to me naked.
All right, naked Crispito. But anyway, so the bottom line was... For whatever reason, the cafeteria said, no more Crispitos.
It was a sad day.
All right, sad day. But there was a call to action. Am I right?
There was.
And there became like the Save the Crispitos
movement. Save the Crispitos. I mean, we had like signs we made out of like old bed sheets. I mean, we did everything. We painted on these sheets, hung them all around the school, made T-shirts. I mean, we threw a big fuss. Yeah. The seniors kind of helped us move us in that direction, but we all joined. It was awesome.
So it was your sophomore year.
Yeah.
All right. So the end result is you guys got busy. Didn't y'all have basically you had a list, everybody signed up and believed in the advocacy for the Crispito.
Oh, right. I think wrote why we loved it so much. And honestly, if I could get my hand on that list, that would be awesome just to read some of the
stupid things that y'all
said. We probably said. I have no clue.
All right. But here's the thing though. They brought back the Crispito.
They did. They brought it back that year. And honestly, it stayed at least... through, you know, a few years after I graduated.
That's awesome.
But I mean, the cool thing was we stood up for what we wanted, and it was great. We were like, we want these Crispitos.
If your age group would go after some other topics with as equal fervor as they did the Crispitos, you could change the world, man.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's my point. That was a funny story. It's just so funny that I was preparing for today. And number one of the triple dipper is your grassroots are showing, right? Your grassroots are showing. That's just a euphemistic way of saying we can see grassroots efforts brewing all over the place, but I couldn't help but remember. It just like struck me, wait a minute. I remember Boomer and Crispitos back in the day. Not that you wore Speedos. I said Crispitos is what I said. Yeah, it's all right.
Correct.
We don't want Boomer in a Speedo, never. No. All right. But I've seen a few. I've seen a few grassroots movements. Like I can label some for you. 2010 elections, the same year I got elected, actually, the Republican wave. That was a grassroots movement that came on the heels of the Tea Party movement, and it had a resounding effect. And that one kind of swept the nation. It certainly swept our state. And overnight, the state house went from Democrat control for 136 straight years to Republican supermajority in one night. That was a big deal. I saw more recently down in the coast in the Mobile Bay area, the folks that just rallied, like hundreds, thousands maybe, of people that got active when they realized that the plan was to put a toll bridge, but not a toll bridge that they could choose to use if they wanted to, a toll bridge that was going to become the way to work. If you lived on the Eastern Shore and you worked in Mobile or vice versa, that was going to be your route. Period. Good luck. What are you going to do otherwise? Drive up and around the bay? Doubtful. And so it was putting people in a position of recognizing they would have to pay like $40, $50 a month just to drive to work. And that did not sit well in a grassroots movement like, you know, I've never seen got together. The other one that I was able to be a part of more recently that we just had a celebration for over this past weekend was a group that became known as Advance Etowah for Etowah County, the county where Gadsden is located. There was an effort by city leaders to bring in this obnoxious thing called a rendering plant. I had some friends on talking about it with me on the show recently. But Advance Etowah became the group that said that we are better than this. Why would you put a chicken processing plant right next to our schools and churches that stinks to high heaven and is going to create nuisances and will lower property values? Well, we think it might bring 40 or 50 jobs. Really? And how about all the chicken parts that spill all over the road and attract birds, and you want to put it right next to the runway at the airport? So, you know, bird strikes on airplanes. It made no sense. Well, the community got so active, man, so active, that Advance Etowah has even formed a pack to try and elect the right kind of people. I'm just saying, grassroots is amazing to watch. I love it. I love it when people get busy for conservative good causes like this. To include Crispitos. All right.
Yes.
There you go. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to talk about it more when I get back. Your grassroots are showing this number one on the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, to guests in parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in for good measure, man. We are solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, number one of the Triple Dipper. Your grassroots are showing. That's what I'm calling it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I could go down this road in political, you know, movements. I could go down this road in terms of, you know, things that have happened for economic development, like talking about Advance Etowah that I talked about a while ago. But I'm going to steer my comments today. I'm going to try to keep them in one particular form of grassroots, and that's the issue surrounding liberal ideologies being foisted upon our kids in our schools. And if you think it's not happening, you are wrong. And if you think it's not happening in Alabama, you're also wrong there too, because it is. Now, let me give you a refresher on a few things that are happening around the nation, things that are just hot button. I mean, I can just find examples everywhere, but I had to just pick a few. So let me just jump in here. Because you see, what happens is when parents get involved, when the mama bear realizes the bear cubs are being picked on, oh yeah, it can get busy. Well, what happens when a whole pack of mama bears find out? Oh yeah, it gets real busy. Here's a story from the Daily Caller. Daily Caller, dated August 12th, just a few days ago. Today's what, the 15th? Yep, 3 days ago. Promote politics on your own times. Parents in Arizona unveil their school board expectations list for the new school year. So this is an Arizona school district where there's already been some controversy. In fact, the school district even went so far in the past, like the past year, to try and sort of dox parents who were protesting. They tried to create a list of parents and their locations and how to find them and what their business names were and that kind of thing, for the sole purpose of beginning to sort of report them as being, you know, a little bit on the fringe. Well, no. But anyway, here's the bottom line. The Arizona School District, it says in the story from the Daily Caller, sent children home with a classroom expectation sheet. Not a big deal. You expect that kind of thing to happen, right? But it prompted the parents to submit their own expectations to the school board at an August 10th meeting. Jennifer Alvey, who was speaking on behalf of nearly 2,000 parents, told the Chandler Unified School District during a board meeting on Wednesday that the parents crafted their school board expectations list for the coming year. And they said, and this is you can tell they almost like consulted an attorney doing this. He said, should the school district leadership not communicate further with me on this issue, then I and my fellow parents will assume that all these standards are agreeable and will also see a breach of trust happening from the district should they be broken. In other words, tell us now or we're going to hold you to it. Well, I mean, it was not things that you would think would be too controversial. It was stuff like the parents have unified to say the first expectation is that all materials that are purchased or produced by the district should be available for public review upon request within a reasonable amount of time. How hard is that? They're putting a book in front of your child. Shouldn't you be allowed to see it? They're asking your child to log in to something on the website. Shouldn't you know what it is? They're showing your child a video or a PowerPoint presentation during class. Shouldn't you know what it says? Alvey said, too, that this should also be something that is made available. Because what they've done, here's one of the biggest tricks is, well, you'll have to submit a FOIA request. Why do you need a Freedom of Information request to review the documents you're showing to my child? It shouldn't have to work that way. And you'll have to come down and review those in person. Really? I have to skip work, come down there, pay for copies because you won't hand me the original, and then I can't leave the premises with it, and you won't let me take pictures on my phone. That's happened, by the way. There's a lawsuit in Pennsylvania on that very thing. In this case, they say, the parents in this school board expectations, Alvey said that if technology and distance learning is good enough for students during COVID, then those same technological accommodations should therefore be extended to parents to be able to review and receive requested materials. That's an awesomeness. So yeah, this is, and I could go on, but they've got several more, but the end result of this is what we've got is a group of parents that decided, you know what? Stop it. We see you. We know what you're doing, but we want to know more details because, oh, by the way, these are our children. This is not, contrary to anything that Hillary Clinton might have written in her book, it does not always take a village. The village may be actively involved, but it is still the parents and legal guardians who have the final say over what is best for their child, period. All right, story on Fox News. This one dates back to June 20th, so we're not quite 2 months back. But the title of it is The Definitive Proof That Critical Race Theory Is Being Taught in Our Schools. It's out there. Don't think it's not. It says the war against parental rights is happening at school districts in every corner of America. Equity consultants are making millions of dollars off the back of the taxpayers to train teachers to view everything through the lens of critical race theory and then transform education by applying those lessons through teaching children that America's institutions, monuments, traditions, holidays, language, and foundational principles are systemically or irredeemably racist. Well, many parents are trying to look behind the curtain because they got a little glimpse during COVID. They're at home, little Johnny and little Mary logged into their school lessons, and the parents who were in the background heard something and went, wait a minute, what? What is that? What are you having to read? Why are they talking to you? They told you what about yourself? Well, the one particular school district in Pennsylvania I was referring to a moment ago, there's one parent there, Ben Auslander, who wanted to inspect the documents being used to show, and he had to literally file suit to be able to see the documents because they were considered to be protected and confidential. What do you mean? These are our kids. So first of all, folks, I'm just telling you, parents, if they tell you you can't see it, red flag number one. If they tell you you can't see it, tell every other parent you know that there's material that the school system wouldn't allow you to see. When he finally got some of the materials, that's a place in Pennsylvania, he realized it had an entire training curriculum called What Does It Mean to Be White? And in that thing, it asked all these questions about helping you deal with your whiteness, like making sure you understand that whites are taught to see themselves as individuals rather than part of a racial group. What? Independence and autonomy are highly valued and rewarded. Something wrong with that? That you should always be polite. Okay. That you must always do something about a situation, or hard work is the key to success, or the nuclear family is the ideal social unit. Like, these are bad, but those were evidences of your whiteness. And this is a lesson that he finally had to sue to be allowed to have a copy of. Well, listen, there's another piece of this. That's CRT, right? That's critical race theory. The other piece that's too often being foisted upon students is something that one article I got here off the Heartland Institute's website. You can go find it at heartland.org. It was dated back in May of this year, May 9th. And it says, don't buy into SEL. If you're not familiar, SEL is called social emotional learning. I've talked about it here on the show multiple times. It's this idea that you can have a collaborative and culturally responsive education, that you can help kids deal with the way they feel about their education as much as what they're learning. And it started off with, you know, kind of like highbrow, good ideas, and good intentions. But the storyline is that roughly around 2020, it really began to shift. And then, by the way, that's kind of around the time frame we began to see this massive cultural shift in the way they're going to try and teach our kids. The things like the LGBTQ agenda in schools, you know, the the idea that Disney wants to say something about the fact that state of Florida doesn't believe that gender identity and sexual orientation are appropriate topics for kindergartners. Well, SEL began to morph, and it became something known more as transformative SEL. It calls for students to critically examine the root causes of their inequities. And what it basically became was, they say, the therapeutic wing of the noxious critical race theory. And yes, SEL is at use here in Alabama. But it's what's amazing to watch is when you can see them. I mean, what's happening right now is, as by the way, if you think for a second that you're going to form a grassroots organization and just bluster your way through and no one's going to care, good luck. Because I'm going to tell you right now that the 2010 elections, when the Republicans swept the state house in Alabama, the teachers union and Democrat operatives threw tons of money against those of us who ran and made our lives miserable. I know one guy that the teachers union and their allies, they sent strippers to his house to try and look as if he had called them to his house and take pictures for negative campaign ads. It went on and on and on with the dirtiness and the things they were doing trying to keep us from actually taking the election. But the grassroots got busy. And the grassroots has to push back. And folks, the grassroots has to be willing to say, we're in this because we see a cause worth fighting for, and we will not be deterred. Story from the Post-Millennial, dated August 13th, 2 days ago. The teachers union tells educators to ignore Florida law on not teaching gender identity in schools. See what I'm saying? If you think for a second, what happened there? There was a groundswell of momentum, a grassroots effort in Florida that said, stop putting this stuff in our kids' classrooms. For the love of God, teach them how to read. Teach them how to write. Teach them basic arithmetic. Teach them science. But no, that's the place where you can transform their minds. That's the place where you can grab hold of their cultural identity. Make sure they understand that they are the oppressor or the oppressed, or that perhaps the little boy should play in girls' sports. Use whatever bathroom they feel like today. Florida's Department of Education issued a memo to all school districts in late July explaining that they were not required to comply with the Biden administration's proposed changes to and interpretations of Title IX and Title VII. Those changes that the Biden administration is putting out would require schools that receive federal funding to allow boys and girls access to opposite-sex bathrooms if they identify that way. By the way, your Alabama Attorney General is fighting that in a lawsuit right now. Under Biden's Title VII interpretation, funding for free and reduced lunches in schools that are underprivileged would be withheld unless the school system complies with the Biden administration's views on gender identity and sexual orientation. So the local teachers union in Florida, backed by the National Education Association, which donated heavily to the Biden campaign, by the way, then issued their own contradictory guidance in a memo saying that they did not have to follow through on it. That they need to understand that, well, you know, federal law can trump state law. There are limits to that. Thank you very much. Well, so folks, these are the things we're up against. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back from this break, though, I want to tell you about some things that have happened that have drawn people's attention, that have formed some grassroots. And then top of the hour, I got a friend of mine, Allison Sinclair, coming on, who is at the head of an organization called Local Alabama, which is solely focused on the idea of organizing parents and folks into good cause grassroots efforts to get something done. I'm telling you, we can take our country back, but it only happens if we coalesce around the ideals of conservatism and press them forward. All right, we're going to take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. I'm so fired up. We'll come right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering all of North Alabama, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, so You know, I told you some stories there about things that are happening in schools and other places, places where parents have gotten active and said, no, I want to see those materials, or no, we're going to give you our list of our expectations. I want to make sure you understand, though, this is not just somebody else's problem. This is an Alabama thing, too. Pointing out here a story on 1819 News. You go to 1819news.com and find it. My buddy Craig Monger, who's been on the show a couple of times, wrote this piece that came out over the weekend, dated August 13th. Huntsville Board of Education election draws controversy over equity and gender teaching. Really? Yes. It says parents and candidates alike are expressing concern with the Huntsville City School System ahead of the upcoming Board of Education election. Critical race theory has rushed to the forefront of political discourse in recent years, especially in the realm of education. It goes on, though, to state that Huntsville was actually the cause of controversy back in December of 2021. A parent submitted a claim to the state board decrying a teacher's training course where certain tenets of CRT were discussed. Now, listen, I have focused on this on my show multiple times. I am shocked that it has not gained more attention, because what I'm going to tell you about in a minute is when parents in Mountain Brook found out about the exact same thing and said, well, by God, that's not going to happen here. Well, there's a curriculum right now in use by the Huntsville City Schools in 42 schools in the Huntsville City School System called No Place for Hate. It's put out by an organization called the Anti-Defamation League, an organization that started off ostensibly to help contradict biases against the Jewish community. Sounds noble. They have morphed. They picked up new leadership since around, I think it was 2014, 2015, and that new leadership has taken them down an entirely new woke level. The curriculum, No Place for Hate, I've got a copy of it, all right? I've gone through it. I want to say it was page 27, I think it was, that literally says that, you know, here's how you help students pick their gender, you know, identity pronouns. But don't tell the parents, get this, don't tell the parents, because that might create controversy at home. So it's a curriculum, and that's one of many things. How about this? How about if issues arise at the school, you don't report it to the school or the school board, you report it to the Anti-Defamation League. Why? Who knows, man? Because they're forming their own database and they might take action? I don't know. But the reality is this. There should be no curriculum in our schools that teaches kids to go down social and cultural paths that their parents have not aligned with, and for that matter, does not ever put itself in the position of helping teachers to show kids how to lie to their parents. Shouldn't ever happen. That is the most reckless, irresponsible thing I've ever heard. And by the way, it's in place right now in Huntsville City school systems. So on top of that, you've got this thing going on right now, and it talks about it in this particular article that I'm reviewing right now from 1819 News. I had Angela McClure on the show once, at least once. She's running for the Huntsville Board of Education District 3, and she was talking about the fact that she got a copy of an email that was sent out by a guidance counselor by the name of Nancy Wolf in the Huntsville City Schools. Nancy Wolf sent out her email to parents saying, quote, I'm trying to be open and inclusive with my students who prefer other pronouns and let them know I'm supportive of them. Guidance counselor in the Huntsville City Schools talking about how to help kids with their pronouns. Well, folks, this is happening right here in our listening area. And it goes on to talk about the fact that the State Board of Education, Wayne Reynolds, who represents District 8, been on the show here before. He's from the Huntsville area. He says the State Board has done what they can to try and make sure that CRT is not able to be taught in our Alabama schools, but it doesn't mean they don't try to slip it in. And in this case, that's a curriculum, by the way, No Place for Hate is a curriculum used to train teachers. Well, that same curriculum, by the way, I've got an article here from AL.com dating back to July of last year. Mountain Brook backtracks on anti-bias training after parent criticism links to critical race theory. And it says for at least a year, Mountain Brook administrators, educators, and students had tried to implement diversity programs, and it was the exact same thing. No Place for Hate by the Anti-Defamation League. Now, here's the thing. When the parents found out about it, I know several of them. They literally organized quickly. They like 300 of them. One guy told me, he said at least 300 parents showed up at that Mountain Brook school board meeting. Dickie Barlow, who is the superintendent of the Mountain Brook schools, was taken aback. They had never seen anything like this. Well, a lady by the name of Allison Padilla-Goodman, she's a hyphenated name, Allison Padilla-Goodman, she's the vice president of the Anti-Defamation League Southern Division. She's the one who helped implement the Mountain Brook diversity training. She told AL.com in this article I'm looking at, the training is used by hundreds of schools across the country, including, quote, you ready, 42 in Huntsville. The backlash, she said, was the strongest she had ever seen from any district. Strongest she'd ever seen. And as of that past Sunday, when that, this is back in July of last year, she said Mountain Brook was the only district in the nation that she had seen end a partnership with the organization during her time working for Anti-Defamation League. Did you catch what I'm saying? What that basically means is these parents started a grassroots movement, and they were so effective, and they were so vocal, and they were so willing to go down there and make themselves heard that they changed the direction of a curriculum that is still in place in Huntsville, that this lady says is in 42 schools in Huntsville. That, by the way, she said she's never seen another district back off of that curriculum the way they did in Mountain Brook. 500 educators had already been through the training. It's gone now. You know why it's gone? Because some folks let their grassroots start showing. That's why. You can get busy. You can make change. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, my friend Allison Sinclair, who is well-versed in all of that. She'll be here talking about an organization she's helped found called Local Alabama. Y'all stay tuned. Right back.